I realize the scripture's just a touch longer today than usual, but I'm still going to ask you to stand in reverence for God's holy word. If you have difficulty standing, just put your hand over your heart. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, the word of the most holy God says this. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrist. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane. Then suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hands to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Then he said, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. When morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Herod was trying to impress the Jews, and when he had killed one of the apostles, James, he saw how pleased the Jewish leaders were for that, and so he arrested Peter, and the plan was that after Passover, he was going to bring Peter out and kill him. Now, the church in Jerusalem was praying for Peter. They were praying for God's intervention. But it kept getting closer and closer to the time. Now, I want you to think about this because I find this most impressive. On the day before he was to be taken out and killed, Peter was sleeping soundly. I don't know about you all, but I think that if the next day was my execution day, I probably would, you know, have been praying, or I know I wouldn't have been sleeping, right? I just don't see that happening. I think that, you know, if I was happy that I was going to be with the Lord, I would have been up with anticipation. If I was, you know, frightened, as I think we all would be, then I just don't think. But he was sleeping soundly. Because he had faith. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen. He just didn't even think about it. And the angel had to rouse him to wake him up. And he was sleeping so soundly that he wasn't even sure he was awake when he was getting dressed and walking out. He thought he was still asleep. He thought this was all just a vision. You know, that God was giving him a vision of wonderful things. And then he gets out in the cold air and he realizes that he's awake. And he sees where he is, and so he goes to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. Goes there and knocks on the door. This is one of the funniest scenes in the Bible. Who's there? It's Peter. Open up. It's Peter. Didn't open the door, just went running back because everybody was in the house praying for God's intervention. And it was too good to be true. It was too good to be true. I want to talk about the faith that these people had. Peter had the faith to sleep soundly before his execution, for what was supposed to have been his execution. The church had gathered together to pray for God's intervention. And that was faith. Because, folks, it was dangerous. It was dangerous to come together and pray. They were being persecuted. They were being imprisoned, being killed. But they had the faith to come together and pray. Faith is a biblical definition, not a secular definition of faith. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's a little bit different. But a biblical definition of faith is confidence, trust, and belief in God, his promises, his precepts that spur you on to action. You don't just believe it. You act upon it. That's biblical faith. And we can see that kind of faith in both the church and in Peter as they were waiting for the day. But in the last hour of the day, right when, you know, the last watch of the night, God showed up. And God didn't just show up, you know, and comfort Peter. God showed up and the chains fell off because, folks, let me explain something to you if you don't know it. When God shows up, the chains fall off. The chains fall off and the chains fell off of him. And he is free. And while he thinks he's only free in his spirit, he was free in his body as well. And the angel then leads him out. God showed up, answered the prayer. But we know that James was executed. We started the scripture with what we read, that James was executed. He had been executed with the sword. Now, don't you think that when he was arrested that the church prayed for him too? Don't you think that James had just as much faith as Peter? Of course he did. What is the difference? Why was Peter released and James executed? That's one of the great mysteries of faith, isn't it? You know, God tells us to have faith, to act upon that faith, to believe what he says, believe his promises, live by his guidelines. And he does all of this, and then what happens? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's not. So what's the other part of this? God's providence. All we can do is our part, people. All we can do is to act faithfully. But God has providence. He has the foreknowledge of what will be, and he also has the plan. Now, before you start thinking that, you know, if I fall off here, which is given my proclivity toward clumsiness, not beyond the realm of possibility. I'm going to get standing real close, that way everybody's going, but if I were to fall off the chancel, that was not God's providence. God didn't say on this day in March, at this hour, that Susan was going to fall off the chancel and break her leg. That's not what I'm talking about. Because all of us have freedom within the plan. We have free will. We have choice. We can participate in the plan, or we can choose not to participate in the plan. But the overall plan, the plan of the kingdom of God, is going to happen no matter what we do. The beginning and the ending are written. That's the way it's going to be. The middle, we have choice. And there are different possibilities. It's all going to come out the way God wants it to. But we have choice. God's providence, though, is never surrendered. God never gives up his right to be God. And the choices that he makes are always right, even though in times it certainly doesn't seem that way. God's providence is one of those things that's really, really difficult for us to understand, because we don't get why things happen. We don't get why a 23-year-old kid, to me, died in a car wreck. We don't get that, right? I mean, you know, how do you wrap your mind around that? And to say that that was God's will, I think, is making a travesty of God's will. Wasn't the plan, wasn't what was set out on that day that was going to happen. We live in a fallen world and bad things happen here. But God's providence is, he knew it was going to happen. And he's already planned around it. This family has God. And they have comfort if they'll accept it. They have peace if they'll take it. Does it make sense? No. And I'm not going to stand here and pretend that it does. When my brother Michael died, it made no sense. It made no sense. And I was so hurt and so angry at God over that. And, you know, I've told you all before, so many things happened that were bad because that happened in my life. And, you know, I just decided I was going to get mad at God and not have anything to do with him. You know, if that's how you are, I don't want nothing to do with you. So I know where people come from who suffer the pain and don't understand providence. Until it came to me that even if I understood exactly why God allowed this to happen, it wouldn't have hurt any less. I wouldn't have missed Michael any less. Even if I understood it, it would have still hurt. So I came to the conclusion is, I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand, because if I could, I'd be God, and we all know that that's not true. Not even close. So part of our faith is trusting in the providence of God. But now here's the miraculous thing. When our faith and the providence of God are together, when they are in unity, God says yes. And God says yes in some amazing ways. That's when we call it miracles. You know, the thing that kind of shocks me about this whole story is not that the angel showed up. It's not that Peter walked out and these guards didn't even see him. It's not that he was rescued and was taken to another place. What amazes me is that the people who had been praying for this to happen, when it did happen, told the woman who reported it she was crazy. You know, that's the part of the story that kind of, you know, amazes me is they were all together and they were praying, and they were praying with faith. You know, they wanted God to intervene. But I think what they thought that they were praying for was that God would intervene like Herod would change his mind and set Peter free. That the Jews would open up their eyes and say, yes, this Jesus really was the Messiah and we were wrong. When God showed up the way he showed up, it just seemed crazy. Here's Peter knocking at the door. Well, that couldn't be, could it? See, the problem is when we pray, we're supposed to expect whatever happens. If we are praying, believing, and we are in accord with the providence of God, and God says yes, no matter how he says that yes, we shouldn't really be that surprised by it, should we? I see people in this room that we have prayed for, and miraculous things have happened. The fact that Jack is even sitting here is a miracle, but the fact that he can walk, doesn't even have a cane anymore, that is a miracle. The fact that Donna is sitting here is a miracle. Doctors have given up on you how many times, really? I mean, you know, they kept treating you and everything, but, you know, it just kept sounding worse and worse. You know, she came in and, you know, she had breast cancer, and then tell them all the places she had cancer, Donna. Where is it now?
Nowhere.
Yeah. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by that. I wasn't. I was not in the least surprised by that because that's really what I expected. We pray believing and we expect God to show up. For God to show up and the chains to fall off and lead us into freedom. And sometimes that does not take the shape that we expect. Sometimes what we pray for doesn't happen. Sometimes that thing that we want so desperately doesn't come to pass. But whatever happened was still in God's hands. That's where the real faith lies, folks. That's the difference between having faith in faith and having faith in God. The problem with Christianity is too many people have faith in faith. They say, if I have faith, then God has to do what I want him to do because I've got faith. You know, they call it name it and claim it. And that's just not true. That would make us God, not God. See, if it was just name it and claim it, then I could believe anything I wanted. And if I believed it strong enough, then God would have to do it, right? That's faith in faith, not faith in God. In our study of John on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the difference. And that this was the tipping point of all of Jesus' ministry. He came to his people and said, stop having faith in the fact that you're Jewish and have faith in God. Have faith in God. not that there is a God. Have faith in him so that even when the answer is yes, don't be surprised. And when the answer is no, don't be destroyed. Because God is God. And the thing is, folks, even though things happen that we don't like, that hurt, he loves us. And he cares for us. And he's going to continue to care for us even through the hard times. Now, there's not anybody in this room that hadn't had hard times. And I've got some more bad news for you. There are going to be more. Sorry. But there will be. You know, I've been watching as, you know, every morning I look in the mirror and I look more like my mother every day. You know, I used to be a lot thinner. I used to, you know, and I think about those things and it's just like, wait a minute, life is changing and I don't have any control over it. And you know what? That's right. I don't. But that's okay. It really is. It's all part of the providence. Because I trust that whether I'm on this planet another 40 years or another 4 minutes, that the God of the universe knows right where I am and will use me as long as I'm here. And when I'm not, thanks be to God. James had fulfilled what he had to do. Peter hadn't yet. And God intervened. And a whole bunch more stuff happens. You know, eventually Peter is martyred. But that's okay too. The beauty of our faith is that we don't have to have faith in something not real. We have faith in a true and living God who will carry us through. And if you stop and think about it, if we are in accord with his promises, with his precepts, we have faith in him, then most of the time, our prayers are in accord with providence. And the answer is yes. Give thanks to God for all the yeses in your life today. Because there are many. Trust him when the answer is no. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.